textbooks, page 26. Lesson is God is Father. We told you have to bring your textbooks to class, okay? What happened? Okay, but the others, you know, is not that heavy, is it? Some of you say, you guys grow up and act like, you know, not like kindergarten kids. You're acting like little kids. Do you bring books to school? What would happen if you didn't bring your textbook to school? You'd probably get... So more important in school is your religion. So starting next year, this is going to be last class until next year, bring it, okay? You hear me? Otherwise, we'll have to give you an absence. And you're going to be here for 3 years and not 2 years. Come on. So Paul, going to have to get on them. They got to bring their text. It's not that heavy, is it? It was not 200 pounds. You know? I think that'll have to be a rule next year. If you don't bring it, you just get an absence. You're just going to have to then come on Thursday to make up your Wednesday class. Yeah, but this is not kindergarten, is it? I mean, you guys aren't in kindergarten, I don't think. I don't think I studied until it was 30 years. I never forgot to bring my textbook in 25 years. So we have to kind of grow up a little bit, be a little bit more responsible and mature. We only have about half of you that brought your text. Okay, so let's try to act our age, okay? Paul, you know that I would like maybe maybe take the text, the sheet away because they won't pay attention to the reading. Okay, so just pass them over. What happens is when they read, they don't pay attention to the reading. They just try to fill it in. Then time will fill it in. There's nothing to do. Just give it. So give it after we finish the reading, okay? Pass the sheets over for Paul. Pass them over. Okay. Topic is God is our Father. Okay, the Father Almighty. Okay, So move over with him so you can at least be reading along, okay? Move over. You don't have your text, do you? So move over. You're looking at with him, you're looking at it with him. Maybe you put it in the middle of the two, okay? There you go. Okay, why do we say that God is Father? We say this in a general sense to indicate that God is infinitely good, and also that he is the primary source of all things. So goodness and the ultimate source of all things. However, the word Father refers first and foremost to the mystery of the Blessed Trinity, which signifies that God is the Father of the Eternal Son, whom he begets from all eternity. In the second place, this word indicates that God, through the grace of baptism, has called us to be his adopted children. So all of you are sons of God. That's true. You are sons of God through baptism. Sons of God. Therefore, to be in a certain sense brothers of Jesus Christ, his only Son. So God is your Father, Jesus Christ is your older brother, and the Holy Spirit is your best friend. third place, this word reminds us that God cares for all His creatures as a father cares for his children. That's called divine providence. 42. What does the word Almighty mean? If you speak Spanish, Todopoderoso, Almighty. All-powerful, Todopoderoso in Spanish. Signifies that God is... Can you pronounce that word? A little bit better.
Omnipotent.
You're putting the accent in the wrong place. Omnipotent. Say it. Omnipotent.
Omnipotent.
Omnipotent. Okay, you have omnipotent, which means all. Omni means, like in Spanish, omni, all. Potent, all powerful. So it means all powerful. That's who God is. Creating the world out of nothing. Okay. Creating the oceans, creating the whales. I mean, that's power. Saying, let there be light and light exists. That is mere word. So God is powerful. God is omnipotent or infinite in power. Infinite means there's no limits to his power. Because nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Jesus could even raise the people from being dead. He did that three times, raising the dead. God was able to split the Red Sea in two. Maybe you saw the film of Moses, right? Moses, and the Red Sea was split in two, and the warriors went through, and it subsided, and all the Egyptians were killed with their chariots. Power. A lot of power. He is omnipotent above all in forgiving. So even though we commit bad actions, God can forgive our sin. Through the priest, I absolve your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We as priests, we have a lot of power, which comes from holy orders, no? To bring God down from heaven when we celebrate Mass and to forgive sins. If Adolf Hitler were to come to me, or Joseph Stalin with all his sins, telling God I'm sorry, he could be forgiven, right? As long as he's sorry. Okay. Got to be sorry. Okay, can God do evil? You know, that's one of the basic questions why people leave the faith. If God is so good, why does evil exist? Were you ever confronted with that question? Anyone ever... Or maybe you've asked that question. So God's good, right? So if God is so good, how can evil exist? You're a theologian in disguise. What do you think? No? Max, what do you think? God is so evil, you know, why? God is so evil. Why does evil? If God is so good, rather. Why does evil exist?
Because of us. Because of
okay. What's the one for one word or two words you can use? Okay, good. I was going to say the word free will. Free will or freedom. You know, God did not create us as robots. No. You're not a robot. A robot doesn't have any freedom. So God has given us freedom. We can either use it or abuse it. Use it or abuse it. We can either use it to serve God, or we can abuse it to commit a sin. So when there's evil in the world, we should never point the finger at God, rather point the finger at ourselves. Someone decides to kill another person. God's not his fault, but the person is abusing the gun he's got in his hand, right? Or the bomb that's exploding. But sooner or later you're going to come, of course, someone's going to say to you, you guys are Catholics, well, God is so good, why does God allow evil to happen? Give me another example. Okay, you have this 6-month-old baby that has a crib death. You ever hear that? You know, you go in the room, the baby's dead. No? In the evening, the baby suffocated for some reason, died. How would you respond to that? The Catholic little baby, the baby was baptized after a month. Where's the baby now? The baby were baptized. Where's the baby now? So the baby maybe suffered that night a little bit, but the baby's in heaven for all eternity. So God allows evil to bring greater good out of evil. Adam and Eve. What's the name of that sin that they committed? Original sin. That was really a pretty serious sin that they committed at the beginning of the world. But because of the sin of Adam and Eve, what happened? God the Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to save us. So the evil that Adam and Eve committed was terrible. But greater good came out because Jesus came as a result. As St. Augustine says, oh, happy fault. That's what we celebrate in Christmas, the coming of Christ. He came to save us. So God allows evil to bring greater good out of it. That's a typical question you're going to hear when you go to high school and college. People are going to say, well, you guys are Catholic. If God is so good, why does He allow evil to exist? Because of free will, and that God, free will is the first response, and second is that God can always bring greater good out of evil. Even you know, you commit a sin, you end up by going to confession, you're forgiven, and you'll leave with a lot of peace. So you know, committed a sin, it wasn't good, but you went to confession, I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You'll leave and your heart is filled with peace. Peace that you didn't have before. Well, God knows how to work. God knows how to work. Some of God's plans are mysterious. They're a mystery. We can't always understand them perfectly. But God always works for our good and for our salvation. Even though we can't always understand it right away. A mystery is something that does not contradict reason, but it transcends reason. It doesn't contradict it, but it transcends, which means it goes beyond reason, faith and reason. Okay? So here we have with the whole question of evil. Can God do evil? No. God cannot do evil because He is infinite goodness. So God cannot commit a sin. He cannot do evil because He cannot will to do so, since evil is the opposite of good. In other words, evil is the contrary of the divine essence. Now, the best way that you guys can avoid evil and do good is to receive Holy Communion with a lot of love. You hear me? What did I say, Cameron? That's the best way we can avoid evil and to do good. Because Holy Communion, that's God, right? You ever hear the expression, you become what you eat? You become what you eat. If you have bad eating habits, you're probably going to have problems with your health. But if you eat the body and blood of Christ, then that's going to transform you into a follower of Christ. So that's the best way for us to avoid evil, by receiving goodness into us. And Jesus comes into us every time we receive Holy Communion. What a privilege, huh? What a privilege. You know what caused me suffering? When you go to Mass on Sunday and you have a lot of caliente bancas. Huh? ¿Habla español? Caliente banca. What's a caliente banca? Caliente, what does that mean? Banca. Caliente banca. Bench warmer. Caliente banca. Okay. Like, when you play baseball, do you like to be a bench warmer, Cameron? Or you prefer playing? Or you prefer to be a water boy and a bench warmer? No, you want to get a cycle, right? Cameron, you know baseball language. What does a cycle mean? Nope, that's a home run.
No, like first base, like a base hit, and then a second, double.
Okay, single, double, triple. There you go. Okay, that's right. That's called a cycle in baseball. Okay. Good. Hard to get that, isn't it? No. Morgan, KKKK, right? Yeah. It's not the Ku Klux Klan, no. We thought it was the Ku Klux Klan, no? K, that's baseball language for strikeout. You know, you play a little bit of baseball, right? You're not a KKK, but the single, the double, the triple, the home run, right? Not the KKK. Okay. Okay, now 44. But if everything depends on God, and God cannot will evil, why does evil exist? Okay, let's see what your textbook says. Two types of evil. Moral evil, or sin. Physical, material evil, which means some evil in our body or in the world around us. Moral evil, or sin, originates only in our bad choices, which God tolerates in order to leave us free. Physical and material evil, however, is either the consequence of sin or else comes from the laws of nature, which perfects itself by transforming things, as when the grain of wheat dies in order to produce fruit. Okay, how can sin be the source of physical or material evil? Okay, here's a good example of sin can be a physical evil. Okay, Juan, every Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, he gets bombed. He gets blitzed. So what he does, his favorite saying is, it's Miller time, okay? Because he drinks and drinks and drinks like a fish at sea, huh? I mean, he's drinking. The time he's 39 years old, not too old, no. He goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, you got cancer of the liver. Now, is that God's fault that he's got cancer of the liver?
No.
What? It's his fault because he's abusing something, right? I mean, he knows that by drinking too much, that's going to affect his liver. You've been doing it for already 20 years, and the doctor says, you got to stop drinking. And he keeps drinking. By the time he's 41, he's already dead. Not God's fault. It's his fault, right? It's his fault. Or he's drinking over Christmas, and he's driving, and he gets in a car accident. And he kills himself, his wife, and his two kids. Whose fault is it? You should never be driving. I mean, if you get drunk, you should never be driving, right? You ever go to a party and you got a guy that's drunk and he wants to drive? What? Oh, yeah. You ought to call 911, 911, 911, 911, 911, 911. You know 911 is? You ought to call the police, no? Throw the guy in the slammer, at least in the night, so he won't get in an accident on the freeway. So from Thanksgiving up until New Year's, these are the most dangerous time to be driving because of a lot of people that they go to town, huh? They go to town. They're talking about how, you know, if you abuse your body by drinking and someone gets liver cancer at 40, at 39, it's his fault. Or taking drugs. You take drugs and you want to try to study, and your mind is floating in no man's land, huh? And you want to go to college, and you know, it's been proven that taking drugs, it damages your brain cells, therefore your intellectual capacity is going to be diminished because you've been abused and taking drugs. Take an aspirin or Tylenol when you got a headache, but leave it at that, okay? So a lot of the physical evil we have is because we're abusing God's creation. A lot of it. Okay? Or then you go to McDonald's and you order 4 Big Macs and 3 ice creams. No? And you do that every day for 6 months. You're going to be weighing 300 pounds, right? You're going to be Mr. Meatball, huh? And all the problems that come with that. So, we're called to use, not abuse. We're called to use and not to abuse. The big difference, right? Or another one would be this, okay, you know, you're on the computer, you're on your phone until 4 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, you got to get up at 6:30 to go to school. Their teacher is going through the math that you're going to have a math exam, you know, in a week. And there you are. When the teacher is giving you the ideas, he's giving you a lesson. And what do you do? You're agreeing with him on everything. It's called the yo-yo effect, right? You ever use a yo-yo? It's called the yo-yo effect. Do that 3 nights in a row, you're going to be a basket case, huh? And when the exam comes around, you're going to get a big F, okay? You're going to end up going to be in 8th grade for 3 years, huh? You graduate from high school when you're 21, huh? Graduate from college when you're 39, huh? You don't want that, do you, no? So we shouldn't be abusing, but rather using. Hey, Paul, not abusing, but using. Okay, 46. How do God's goodness and almighty power manifest themselves? They manifest themselves above all in creation. This is why we say that God is a creator, and that He created all things with love of a Father. I often thought about this. So. Back in the 60s, when I was your age, I'm betraying my age, 69, I was a teenager. There was a very famous rock and roll group, maybe it's a little bit beyond your time, but it was actually called Simon and Garfunkel. That's, oh, really? Okay. Well, they're back in the 60s and 70s, and pretty good group, but they sang a song, I am a rock, you are an island. Remember that, Paul? Yeah. I'm a rock, you are an island. I never thought that God could have created me a rock. He could have created me, you know, a thorn bush. He could have created me, an ant. Or he could have created me a bird. No? Or maybe even a walrus. Not a walrus is, or a crocodile, no? Or a spotted owl, no? What? He could have created you guys, no? He could have created you a caterpillar. You a butterfly. He could have created you a baboon. He could have created you a monkey. No? He could have created you a panther. Could have created you a lion, no? It could have created you a rat, one of those gutter rats, no? Ugly animal, huh? Rats. About a year ago, Father Craig got a little scared because a rat came out of his toilet and he almost... And Father Bill is here and he came in and he blanched, no? Could have been created a rat, huh? But God created, yeah. So make sure you, when you go to the bathroom, make sure you look before you go, right? So, but God created us human persons because all these animals and plants are going to die one day. But we have an immortal soul. And we're going to be living forever and ever and ever. So we're not a rock and we're not an island, but we're a human person. Rock nor island, but a human person. Okay, I've got a good one-liner for you. It's a biblical joke. Ready?
Yes.
Talking about the commandments. Who's the first person that broke all the commandments? Who's the person that broke all of the commandments? Moses, when he broke the Ten Commandments, remember? Remember he came down from the mountain and they were worshiping the calf and he came and he broke the two tablets, so? Got it, Max? Okay, now you got it. Okay. You know, it's interesting. Understanding humor is a sign of intelligence. So you guys have to learn how to laugh at good jokes, huh? Well, most of you have forgotten already. Okay. Let's move on. So they manifest themselves above all in creation. This is why we say that God is the Creator, that He created all things with the love of the Father. And in the redemption, of which the Creed speaks farther on, after having affirmed the incarnation of the Son for our salvation. St. Augustine expresses another characteristic of the goodness and divine power in these words. God, being supremely good, would in no way permit any evil among his works unless he were powerful enough and good enough to bring good even out of evil. So, for example, you talk back to your mother and you end up by apologizing and helping her to wash the dishes. Well, not bad, huh? You talk back, sorry, Mom, I'll wash the dishes. Ah, great, thank you. I was hoping someone would do that for me. It is God's very goodness which permits evil from which he can then bring good. God allows evil to bring greater good out of it. Is that clear? God's permissive will is a mystery which we cannot fully understand, but it is his very goodness which permits evil from which he can then bring good. Witness the power of good triumphing over evil in the passionate death of Christ. God permitted this greatest of all evils and by it brought about the redemption of the whole human race. Redemption. You're a walking dictionary of knowledge. What does redemption mean? You're a scholar in disguise. What would redemption be? You're faking ignorance. No? Not to make them feel embarrassed, right? Redemption means salvation. It was on the tip of your tongue, right? I thought so. Okay, now, worksheet. So in January, you're going to bring your, you're going to bring your textbooks, right?
Wait, January?
When we come back, right?
Well, again.
Yep. So we're going to. I know. You guys are so sad. We're going to have to get you psychological counseling because you're not going to have class for 2 weeks. We'll see if we can get you some type of counseling to be able to cope with it, okay?
Do we have class for next week?
No.
So when we come back?
The first week of January, yes. Okay, let's move. All of you got a pencil? Sheet? Textbook? Response. Put your name at the top. Date, teacher. And here we go. Why do we say that God is Father? And we say this in a general sense, indicate that God is infinitely good. Infinitely good. And also that He is the primary source of all things. Of all things. So God created all things. Okay, number two, name three more reasons why we use the name Father. Letter A. Because of the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. Can anyone tell me what the Blessed Trinity is? Did we ever talk about that? What is the Blessed Trinity? So there are three gods in one person? Three gods in one person? I said it backwards, didn't I? No? I'm trying to trick you, no? There's not three gods in one person. There's three persons in one God. Well, none of you picked it up. There's not three gods in one person. That would be polytheism, right? One God, three persons. And the first person is the Father. Second person is the... Third person is... Okay, what's the name? What's the name of the first of the second person? He's got a name. Okay, Jesus has how many natures? Nope.
Four.
Jesus has how many natures?
Two.
Okay, someone said it. The two. What are they? Nope. Max. Okay, what does that mean? What does divine mean? Means he's God. Human nature means he's... How about that? A quick one. Okay. So he's God and he's man. And one person, the second person of the Trinity. So the incarnation we celebrate in Christmas means that he took on flesh. He became like us in everything except one thing. Jesus was like us in everything except one thing. Which would be?
Perfect.
He never committed any sin. Because we commit a lot of sins, but he never sinned. But he was perfect. Okay? Let's move on. What is the mystery of the Blessed Trinity? Which signifies that God is the Father of the eternal Son, S-O-N, whom He begets from all eternity. Let it be. In the second place, this word indicates that God, through the grace of baptism. the grace of baptism, has called us to be His adopted children. Adopted children. So there's only one natural son of the Father, that's Jesus. He's adopted His children, and therefore to be, in a certain sense, brothers of Jesus Christ. So we are brothers of Jesus Christ, your older brother is Jesus Christ. Not that, huh? Your older, if someone asks you, who's your older brother, you can say Jesus Christ. Wow. Not that, huh? That's true. I have two older brothers. Michael, Dr. Michael in Orlando, and Jesus Christ. I got two older brothers, huh? Six? Okay, six. All right, next. In the third place, this word reminds us that God cares. God cares for all His creatures. For all His creatures. As a father cares for his children. God cares for all His creatures as a father cares for his children. Number three. Is God the Father of the whole human race?
Yes.
God is the Father of the whole human race. Who are the first parents of the whole human race? Adam and Eve, right? So Adam and Eve are our parents. They're the first in the human race, Adam and Eve. What does the word Almighty signify? It signifies that God is omnipotent. Remember that word? Say it. Or infinite in power. God is omnipotent or infinite in power. Because nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. God can do everything. He is omnipotent above all in forgiving our sins. Number five, can God do evil?
No.
God cannot do evil because He is infinite goodness. He cannot do evil because He cannot will to do so. Since evil is the opposite of good. Evil is the opposite of good. Or in other words, evil is the contrary of the divine essence. Evil is the contrary of the divine essence. Number six. But is everything... Change that, but if... There's a typo there. But if everything depends on God, and God cannot will evil, why does evil exist? Spent a lot of time on that, didn't we?
Yes.
There are two types of evil. There would be moral evil or sin. The other would be physical, material evil. Moral evil or sin originates only in our bad choices. decide to lie, and decide not to go to church, decide to talk back to your parents, bad choices, which God tolerates in order to leave us free. We're not robots, are we? So we're all free. We can either use or abuse. Okay. Number 7. How can sin be the source of physical or material evil? Sin can be the source of physical or material evil as a consequence of individual sin. Individual sin. That is, of individual person's sins, as when one person does something evil to another. And that could be stealing. Do you know what a 5-finger discount is? What's a 5-finger discount? When you steal, right? 5-finger discount. Okay. How about calumniating? There's a big college word for you. What does calumniating mean? You know what it means? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you. Character assassination, where you speak bad about another person and you ruin his good name. That's called calumniating. Okay. Ruining someone's good name. Treating another unjustly. Well, when one hurts himself, damages his own body through vices like getting drunk. Vices like getting drunk. Vices. But physical or material evil is also the consequence of original sin. Consequence of original sin. Who committed original sin? Adam and Eve. Which disturbed the order of creation, introducing fatigue, suffering, sickness, and death into our lives. So because of the sin of Adam and Eve, one day we're going to have to die. Yes? It'd be very different, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Hard to say. But Adam and Eve did commit that sin, and because of that, the world is the way it is today, with all the suffering. But Jesus came to remedy it. Next. How do God's goodness and almighty power manifest themselves? Put they, there's a typo there, they manifest themselves, above all, in creation. Manifest themselves, above all, in creation. This is why we say that God is the creator, and that he created all things with the love of the Father, and in the redemption, in the redemption. There is a creative love. I create everything out of love. There is redemptive love. And Jesus dying on the cross for us. There is sanctifying love, especially through the sacraments. Creative love, redemptive love, and sanctifying love. Number 9. Can God bring good out of evil?
Yes.
St. Augustine expresses another characteristic of the goodness. The goodness. and divine power in these words. God being supremely good would in no way permit any evil among his works unless he were powerful, unless he were powerful enough and good enough to bring what? Good even out of evil. Good even out of evil. It is God's very goodness which permits evil from which he can then bring good. Example? The Passion of Christ. Right now, right down next to the Passion of Christ, Good Friday. Write down Good Friday. Is write down there, suffering and death on the cross. His suffering and death on the cross. Suffering and death on the cross. Very important to have a cross in your home and to look at it with a lot of love. So he died on the cross for love of you and me so that we could go to heaven. How good God is. Okay, so have you taken attendance? We're going to say, Hail Mary, and remember that today is the 14th. Christmas Eve is just 10 days away. So Christmas Eve this year falls on Saturday. Okay? Falls on Saturday, and then Christmas falls on Sunday. New Year's falls on Sunday also. So make sure that all of you are going to be going to Mass, of course. On Christmas, you're going to go to Mass, and you're going to be receiving Holy Communion. And look at the... look at this... Christ Mass. Christmas, so the Mass of Christ. So every time we go to Mass, we celebrate Christmas because Christ is born in the hands of the priest, then born in your soul when you receive Holy Communion. Okay, so let's kind of turn to Mary and ask the Blessed Mother to help us to really prepare ourselves for the birthday of Jesus Christ. Not a materialistic Christmas, but a very spiritual one. Because Christmas, above everything else, is the birthday of Jesus Christ, who came to save us. That's what it means. The birthday of Jesus Christ, who came to save us. Is that clear?
Yes.
Okay. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now, at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to give all of you a Christmas present. It's the ABCs of Mother Teresa. It's very, very beautiful. Paul, you can maybe help me to pass them out. It's a very, very good gift. You can maybe pass them out in this part. You take this, pass them out. These are very, very beautiful. Called the ABCs of Mother Teresa. I want you to take this as your Christmas gift. And I'm going to take these, and God bless you. Okay. So you can read through that, and you'll get a lot of ideas from Mother Teresa Pabmo She's the woman, the nun that worked with the poorest of the poor people, and she made a saint only a few months ago. So, God bless. Okay? Thank you.